Hello, everybody, and welcome back once again after our long hiatus to the Dugout Docs, a baseball podcast. I am John Ismond, along with my wonderful co-host. Happy to be back on the computer once again with my good friend, Zeke Grissom. Zeke, how's it hanging, my friend?
It's going great, John. This is the most exciting time of the year. Baseball starting back up, which is our passion, and can't wait to dive in.
Absolutely.
How's up north been treating you, John? What's been going on, brother?
What's been going on? You know, I'm just working in the cold, in the snow, you know, just doing my due diligence as a doctor of optometry in the Chicago suburbs, Zeke. That's really about it. Little girl's getting big. I can't call her little girl anymore. Big girl Eloise went to the doctor's office today. Zeke, over or under 90th percentile for weight in head circumference.
Oh wow.
We're hammering the over. We are in the 99th percentile for head some. Now, they said 99.9%. My wife told me today the nurse had to remeasure the size of her head to make sure it was accurate. Right? Her brain must be that big.
That brain power is just awesome, off the charts.
Yep. And she's only about 75% in height, but she's about 98% in weight. So I'm thinking, you know, she might be a center for a women's basketball team someday.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You're gonna have to send me your diet and training program. We need to get my boys caught up, especially Brooks. I think he hovers in the 40th percentile.
Hey, you know, that's okay. It's okay for Brooks.
Yeah, train him up, man. Tell me what you need to do.
That's right. That's right. Right now the success is a lot of avocados, cake pops, some yogurt, lots of fruit, lots of milk, and lots of dancing. Yep, to Frozen music. I think that's what kind of builds the muscle mass at this age.
Yeah, absolutely. Our boys are really into cars right now. Kyle Blevins, he texted me the other day and he's like, "Boys, Daytona 500 today." Ooh. I said, "The only racer I watch is Lightning McQueen, baby."
That's right.
It's baseball season.
Amen. What about Mater? Do the boys like
Mater?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Tow Mater is awesome.
That's awesome. Hey, cars in your household, Frozen over here.
That's right.
It's good stuff. But yeah, man, you've been doing okay over in good old Middle Tennessee.
Absolutely. Holding things down, man. Enjoying this bipolar weather right now. Some days will be low 70s, high 60s, and then the next day it'll be 32 as a high.
There you go.
But we're making it through it, and I'm looking forward to getting some blueberry bushes out of my house, John. I haven't told you about this, but I'm planting out some blueberry bushes, and I can't wait.
Sounds good. Putting them in pancakes? You blueberry pancake guy, you chocolate chip guy? Or are you plain pancake?
I'm plain pancakes, man. Plain pancakes, but with maple syrup. I don't want any of that cheap junk.
No.
You got to put maple syrup on your pancakes.
No Aunt Jemima, no log cabin for Zeke. You got to get the authentic.
Well, I will say the pancake mix is, I think they call it stone mill or something, but it is the Aunt Jemima. Original recipe. So I'm still sporting, but
still repping.
I gotta have my maple syrup.
Yep. Yeah. Still repping the brand. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. But yeah, blueberry bushes sound nice. You guys getting hit with a lot of rain right now?
Yeah, we are. It's staying pretty saturated, but I think the rest of the week's gonna be nice. Pretty nice weather, and tomorrow when I get off a little bit earlier than most days, probably get the boys outside for a little bit, which will be good.
Very nice. That sounds good. You know, I think you brought up a great thing. Baseball here, right around the corner. College baseball started this last weekend, which is always fun. But yeah, you know, we don't care about the Super Bowl, dude. Nobody cares about who played in the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Nobody watched it.
It's a mute point. Nope. As far as I'm concerned, the season ended two weeks prior. So, no.
But, did anybody watch the college football playoffs either?
I heard viewership was at an all-time high, Zeke. It was.
Is that right?
More people watched the University of Michigan win the college football semifinals and finals than any other sporting event I ever in terms of college football, I should say. So,
wow. Yeah.
So
got the job done.
Got the job done.
John.
Hail to the victors. Jim Harbaugh, happy for him in LA. You know, as a sports fan, I'm good for a little bit. I'm good for a little bit.
You're on a high. This gets you another 2 or 3 decades, right?
Yes. That'll give me 2 or 3 years, Zeke. My expectations are a little bit higher. But but let's talk about some baseball, man. You know, the people want one thing. What is that?
Give the people what they want, John. They want some baseball.
That's right. And we're here for it. Zeke, I figured a good way to kind of transition from last year's great season in which the Texas Rangers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks in the World Series, one that we never probably would have predicted at the start of the season. Good way to bridge the gap between that and spring training, which is starting around right now, is to go through three of the biggest topics that happened in the offseason. So how's that sound to you? Sound pretty good?
That sounds like a great plan, John. Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. So topic one here, Los Angeles Dodgers. All right. They were really the bells of the ball when it comes to this offseason. They reloaded after yet another disappointing NLDS exit, and they did it in an astounding fashion, Zeke. This first topic, we can talk about a lot of different moves that they made. The headliner, of course, is that Shohei Ohtani, the man, the myth, the legend himself, signed to a 10-year, $700 million contract. He's moving across town, Zeke, from Anaheim to Los Angeles proper. What do you think about it?
John, this is a guy that is just an unbelievable talent. I looked up Los Angeles this past season and looked at WAR, which has become a more popular statistic, really just a way that teams are trying to identify players and their value. And essentially it's wins above replacement, which basically indicates if that player, that individual player got injured and their team had to replace them with a minor leaguer or another bench player, how many more wins is the team going to get with said player as opposed to the replacement? And when pitching, Shohei Ohtani had a WAR of 10,
wow,
or maybe it was 9. Either way, it's pretty incredible. Now, he's not going to be pitching this year after Tommy John surgery, but even still, his hitting was a 6 WAR, which ranked 5th in the entire league. So now you take the Dodgers, who had the second highest WAR, as well as one of the most loaded lineups and well-rounded teams, and you're adding the best player of his generation at this point.
Yep.
That's an incredible signing. Yep. And it can only mean good things for the Dodgers.
Absolutely.
John, when we were going into this deal and speculations were going around, we all had a pretty big feeling that the Dodgers were going to land him. What were you expecting the contract number to be? Because I can tell you what my over-under was.
Yeah. Did this hit the over?
This definitely hit the over.
Yeah. I was thinking probably in the range. I was thinking probably 600s. I really did, given the talent. And, of course, it depended on how long he wanted to be with a certain team. I think, I mean, 10 years, that's a big commitment, which is great. It works for both sides, I imagine. Shohei's going to be great. But yeah, I was thinking probably in the 600, 630 maybe, but not 700.
Yeah, I was in the 500 to 600 range as well. And to think the difference between 600 and 700, relatively speaking, doesn't seem like a lot, but we're talking about $100 million difference, which for most teams would be their most highly played player.
Yeah.
So incredible. Good for him. Shohei Ohtani seems like the type of guy you can really root for. So it didn't get me too butthurt about it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, I'll bring up one thing that I thought was interesting. I'm sure it caught your eye as well, but it's an interesting contract structure for Shohei. Typically, you think about, hey, if you have a $700 million contract over 10 years, that would mean you're getting paid about $70 million annually. But that is not the case. Shohei Ohtani will bring home only about $2 million. I shouldn't say only about $2 million, right? But when we're talking about $700 million, only $2 million per year, and it's gradually going to be paid and really back-ended towards the end over a total of 20 years. So you may think, okay, why do I care about that? Well, what that does is that offers the Dodgers to spend a lot more money right now. They don't have to lock up $70 million paying Shohei every single year. They can disperse that among different guys. And then eventually later on, or they're kind of like using a credit card and saying, oh, we're just going to pay this a little bit later. But it works. I mean, you look at Shohei Ohtani's everywhere. I mean, he's got endorsement deals up the wazoo. He's not going to be, I mean, he can live very comfortably on $2 million per year. I know he's making a lot more. So just something that was interesting.
Yeah. I think this will drive a new era of contracts, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. For better or worse, I mean, you can argue both ways in it. But even Yamamoto, that we'll talk about here in a second, I think a lot of his contract was also backloaded to some degree. Yeah. And I think it's going to be a loophole that some of the big spenders out on the market are going to be able to utilize to kind of get around tax implications, et cetera. And really allow them to increase it. But one of the things that I read back when this first happened was this was discussed in the CBA. Mm. So this is not something that comes out of nowhere for GMs and owners and players too, I guess, because I think this was one of the hot topics when they were negotiating. So is what it is, and good for Ohtani. And I think he's going to be really great in that Dodgers lineup. Finally in a place where I think he can showcase his talent.
I agree. Totally agree. And I think it's really interesting what you just said, though, about the contract situation. I just saw something within the last week where I don't know if it was Cashman himself, but somebody from the New York Yankees organization said, hey, we didn't even know that a backloading type option like this was on the table with mm-hmm. Shohei. So you kind of wonder, how much was Shohei telling to the teams? Did he always kind of want to be in Dodger blue? We know he's always kind of taken a liking to the West Coast. This is something that we kind of predicted preseason last season, and now it's come to fruition in free agency. Just an interesting situation all around. I'm sure as time goes on, we're going to hear more about the developments of it. But I think you're right. I think he's in a position where, obviously, I mean, you're joining a team that won 100 games last year. He had 44 home runs last year, Zeke, very quietly. 44. Yeah. He had a 304 average and the highest OPS of his career. And I know he's not pitching in 2024. I think the Dodgers are okay with that. I mean, when you have a guy coming off of Tommy John surgery anyway, I mean, that means after this season, you're probably getting at least, you know, 3 to 4 plus years of solid pitching. It's a good deal. It really is.
I truly see Ohtani getting about 3, maybe 4 more years of pitching and then just being a dominant closer DH role for the rest of his career. Because I just see that being such a dynamic and just explosive role for him.
Yep. And as long as the Dodgers, which I know they've had their postseason woes, as long as they win a couple of World Series, at least one, but a couple of World Series with Shohei, I mean, I think they're going to be totally fine just using him as a hitter only for half of this contract. I think they're totally okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Zeke, Ohtani is one thing, right? Massive blockbuster. But you mentioned a little bit about another free agent signing that they had, and that was Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the 25-year-old, really the phenom, Zeke, right? Now and again, there are some phenoms in the Japanese and in the Korean leagues that you hear about, but Yamamoto really came on the scene after his World Baseball Classic performance in 2023, striking out major leaguers left and right. Just a little number for you that I compiled here, Zeke. But his career numbers in the NPB, which is essentially the highest level, it's like the MLBs over in Japan, 1.72 ERA over his career and 986 strikeouts. So it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say pitching too is even one of those things that initially pitchers can struggle because they really have to figure out how to pitch to professional hitters in a way that they're not used to. So the fact that he was able to do that so early in his career is just amazing. And it kind of points to as well how beneficial something like the World Baseball Classic can be for some of these international talents.
Absolutely.
Because it really brings a new spotlight to players that we don't know about here in the States. And I think it's really opened the door for transitioning these players to the league. Yamamoto is already looking like a contender for the Cy Young and an obvious candidate for Rookie of the Year. I'm kind of getting to the point where I feel like these rookie of the year things are a little bit skewed, especially with the international talent coming in. And I think one of these days they may have to do a little bit of, do something about that. But he's somebody I'm really excited about. I was watching an interview or listening to a guy recently, or back when he first signed. It was just talking about his flexibility and his ability to stay healthy. The extent that he goes through to maintain good shape. So unlike other pitchers we may talk about shortly, Yamamoto not only is an explosive talent, but one that seems to be very durable. So he got paid handsomely for it too.
He did. And, you know, you always see, you know, a little bit of an adjustment factor. And I'm not saying that, you know, Yamamoto is going to be, you know, striking everybody out that he sees right away. There's going to be an adjustment, right? We saw it even with Shohei himself when he was pitching initially. He didn't have it right away. It takes a little time to get used to the pace and the talented hitters that you're facing. When you're over in the NPB, I mean, the quality of hitters, yeah, you know, you got a couple guys in every lineup. In the MLB, I mean, this is the cream of the crop in the entire world. I mean, no disrespect to the NPB at all, but it's a different animal here. And I'm sure guys in the MLB would tell you that. One thing that I wanted to bring up that you mentioned was durability. Durability, especially in starting pitching. That is something that the Dodgers need desperately. I think the entire reason that they blew up in the playoffs last year is because they didn't have durability. They didn't have Walker Buehler all season, right? We knew that. Dustin May needs Tommy John pretty early on. Tony Gonsolin needs Tommy John. Clayton Kershaw missed a good amount of time in the regular season, comes back for the playoffs, and he's pitching on half a shoulder. He needs shoulder surgery. He's going to be out for half of this year as well. So the Dodgers went into last year, Zeke, with here is their playoff rotation, right? They had Lance Lynn, who they had just acquired from the Chicago White Sox. They had Bobby Miller, who was a rookie. And then they had Clayton Kershaw, who gave a typical playoff Kershaw performance, giving up 6 runs in the top of the first in game one, pretty much dipping into the bullpen. The series was over after game one. I mean, it really was because they had no starting pitching. So they need a guy like Yamamoto who can definitely go out there every 5 days. And they needed starting pitching depth. And they did a sensational job of adding to that. You alluded to it before. Tyler Glasnow gets traded over from the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, he's had an extensive injury history, right? We've got the UCL tear, forearm injury, oblique strain. He's really not on the mound all that often. But when he is, Zeke, you gotta agree that he's a Cy Young caliber player.
Absolutely. Glasnow is a pitching ninja icon with some of the pitches that he throws and the amount of break that he has on his pitches. He even has that bulldog mentality that you have fun watching on the mound where he just gets up there and grips it and rips it. I know John holds Glasnow close in our fantasy baseball league. He kind of held on to him for several years, waiting on the big season. And like you said, it comes at times. And his 13 Ks per nine is certainly an arsenal that if he can get up to 160-ish innings, okay, which I think is 20 or 30 more than last year, he's right up there in the top 10 Cy Young candidates for the year. So, great add, great potential. And I think we're going to find that the Dodgers are going to use the, let's roll with 7, 8, 9 guys this year and we'll get, 5 starters worth by the end of it.
Well, I think that's exactly what they had to do, honestly. And I'm glad for their sake, again, I'm not a Dodgers fan by any means, but I think that's the smart thing to do. You know, when you come back, you're looking at let's look at 2025. I mean, you've got Otani back, you've got Yamamoto, you've got Glasnow, Dustin May will be back in the fold, Walker Buehler will be back in the fold. Even if a guy like Tony Gonsolin and James Paxton are not there, right? You can either put those guys in the pen or you can use them as trade assets come deadline time. So it's definitely better to have, you know, I didn't even mention Bobby Miller, who has an insane velocity and is only going to get better after his rookie campaign. So they had to do it, Zeke. They had to. And it's a good problem to have, especially if you can pay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pretty much their entire rotation to start the year is going to be either Cy Young candidates or former Cy Young candidates. That's what it's going to boil down to.
And the big piece here is Walker Buehler, honestly. We're hearing reports already that he's probably going to start the season on the injured list, which seems to be a common occurrence, but he hasn't pitched since 2022. He was out the majority of the year. He's out all of last year, and he still may not be ready in 2024. That's a little concerning to me. Hopefully, I hope that he's able to get in action pretty early on, but we'll see, man. I mean, it could be a little rocky at the beginning, just because they won't have all the pieces there. They're probably not going to get Clayton Kershaw, who they re-signed to another 1 year deal, like they always do. Probably not until after the All-Star break. So we'll see, man. I'm not, you know, it's one thing I'm not worried about though, with the Dodgers,
What's that?
their ability to put up runs, right? That's not going to be a problem.
Yes. Loaded lineup from top to bottom. Really with just a few couple spots here and there that may be a little bit weak. But yeah, let's run through that, John. What is their lineup going to be looking like this year?
Well, not in any particular. I'm just naming guys here, right? Mookie Betts. Okay, so you got Mookie Betts, you got Freddie Freeman, you've got Max Muncy, you got Will Smith, you've got who else you got in there? You got
I think Jason Hayward's still in
Jason Hayward.
there.
Yeah, he's still playing. In fact, Teoscar Hernandez, who,
Yes.
let's be honest, Zeke, if other teams sign Teoscar Hernandez in the offseason, that's probably their big free agent sign. I mean, this is a guy who multiple time All-Star in Toronto, had a little bit of a down season in Seattle last year, but I mean, he's a tremendous addition to the lineup. He's just a footnote, based on everything the Dodgers have done.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, they're this is a treasure trove offensively. I mean, they're gonna be fantastic.
The thing that I like about that signing in particular is I'm looking at Fangraphs right now, and they've got Mookie Betts followed by Freeman, Ohtani, Will Smith. That in and of itself is awesome. Okay. You got the potential of home runs, on base percentage, RBIs, et cetera, there. But then in the bottom half of the lineup, they move into Max Muncy, who's got some pop,
He does.
generally a good average as well. James Outman, which I think is more of a on base percentage player. Jason Hayward, he's probably past his prime. And then Gavin Lux kind of served as a second leadoff position.
But Gavin Lux, didn't he get hurt in spring training last year, or it was very early? So having him back is a nice presence. That's a piece they didn't have last year. Dude,
But
I
Teoscar Hernandez being added kind of adds like a second cleanup hitter to the back end. So even if one of those guys gets on base, all of a sudden, you've got significant run potential. So I think that's going to play well in their lineup for sure.
Dude, I mean, I will say this, Zeke, okay? And I don't want this to get lost. I know it's the Dodgers, and we always talk about the Dodgers and all they do. We're kind of blind to what they do, just because as an organization, they're fascinating. But I want it here on the record, right? And I put it in our notes. You're reading it. This is one of the most impressive and astounding free agent signing classes in modern day history. Probably the best, right? The fact that the Dodgers are doing this after winning over 100 games last season is crazy. But they have the means to do it. They did it. If they don't win a World Series this year, Zeke, this will be a failure. I'm gonna label it. This would be a failure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really think there's two teams that it's World Series or bust, and one of them is my Braves, and the other ones are the Dodgers.
I would agree.
Both just happen to play in the same league, so somebody's got to lose out. But
Oh, yeah.
I think there are two teams that are just set up for success, and it's going to be fun to watch and see how it plays out this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll definitely kind of the plan for the podcast in general is to have a couple preview podcasts as well. So I'm sure when we get to the NL West podcast, we're going to talk about some of the other emergers in the NL West, most specifically the team with the most momentum of all, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're going to be good, right? I think the Giants could be sneakily good. I know not a lot of people are talking about it. The Padres, they still have a lot of star power, but this is the Dodgers division. I mean, it's really the only. I think that the Dodgers have a big enough gap between all the other talent in the NL West. They have a larger gap than the Braves do with the Phillies, but I still think the Braves have a pretty comfortable gap over Philly.
I think the bottom line for me, as we kind of wrap up the Dodgers here, is the Dodgers increased their payroll from $236 million last year to approximately $302 million going into this year, which I believe will be the highest in the league. Like you said, they're spending a lot of money to push them over the hump. And it's kind of a make it or break it. The one word of caution I would put towards them is this time last year, we were talking about the Mets and how they were trying to buy their way to a World Series, and that just crashed and burned. Now, I hesitate to compare the two because I think the organizational success rate is extremely different. But again, you gotta get out there on the field and win the ball game. So
let's see.
We'll see how it goes.
Counterpoint. Who just acquired Jacob DeGrom? Who acquired Max Scherzer, Corey Seager, Marcus Semien? Who spent the big bucks there? What happened? Right? The Rangers just won a World Series. Same strategy. It'll be interesting to see. That's a good comparison. The one difference that I would say is I don't believe the Mets won a division title before they made all those moves, right?
True.
Dodgers have a long history of doing so. So we'll see. Well, I'm just playing devil's advocate there. Okay. I got to disagree with you once in a while. I think the Dodgers have to be the World Series favorite right now. It's close. Close with Atlanta.
We'll see.
All right, Zeke. Well, shifting over from the NL over to the AL, the next two topics really happen in the biggest division in baseball that everyone talks about and glamorizes over, the AL East, right? And this is a big one, Zeke. This has to deal with our guy. I think you and I would both consider ourselves fans of this guy. And that's Juan Soto, the Soto Shuffle. We're not going to be seeing it over in San Diego in Petco Park this year, but rather we're going to be seeing it in the Big Apple as Juan Soto is traded to the New York Yankees. Zeke, before we get into the nitty-gritty details of this deal, and I've definitely got some thoughts on it, doesn't it just feel right to have Juan Soto in a giant market like New York? It just feels good, doesn't it?
I think so. I truly think he's a person for the spotlight. And I think he'll go well with two other kind of big meathead hitters, and Aaron Judge and Stanton, who Stanton's fallen off a little bit.
Yeah.
But just to see those guys in the same uniform, I think is going to be pretty incredible. See them side by side. I think he'll live up to the hype. You moved to New York and it kind of presents its own struggles and own pressure. But I think he's going to do great with it. I really think he's built for that. Yeah. The one thing I'm disappointed in, and this is a league problem, mm-hmm. I need the Soto Shuffle to come back. I think them speeding up the whole, between pitches and things has slowed that down a little bit. And I think he adjusted this year, but I want to see more of that.
Yes.
Give me more of the shuffle.
Yes. I agree. It should be let's replace the Cupid shuffle with the Soto shuffle at weddings from now on. That's my prerogative. We're just all on the dance floor doing the Soto shuffle. Well, I think it's a great fit. I agree. Seeing him in pinstripes, seeing Aaron Judge and Juan Soto go back to back in the lineup. I mean, that's almost must watch television. It really is. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're at home in New York. It's gonna be awesome. I can't wait to see, the large amount, as long as they're both healthy, right? The large amount of notifications I get of both these guys hitting home runs, because it's just gonna be it's gonna be crazy.
I hope.
But yeah, so let's talk a little bit about kind of the nuts and bolts of this trade. So the New York Yankees, not only do they acquire Juan Soto, but Trent Grisham. And I think Trent Grisham's a guy that we've seen some flashes of over in San Diego. So he comes over as well. That's what's coming back to New York. So a couple of notes that I have here. A lot of people will bring up Soto's struggles, especially in 2022, right after getting traded from the Nationals over to the Padres. The Padres did still make an NLCS appearance. They notably beat the Dodgers in the NLDS before losing to the Phillies, who was really a buzzsaw, let's be honest, that year in the National League. But he struggled, had a bit of a bounce back here, and not a lot of people are talking about it, right? He had a great finish to last year. His OPS improved to 930. He led the league in drawn walks, and that's kind of been his thing, right? Pitchers don't like pitching to him. But he had a career high in home runs last year at 35, which I think everybody talks about the San Diego days for Soto, and they think about the team underachieving. But statistically, he did pretty great last year.
Absolutely. He really came into his own, and like you said, in a quiet way. You know, you go throughout the season, and you don't really hear of the talent of Soto as much as you did the last few years. But then you look at the end, and he's right up there with the best as far as numbers and statistics go. So I think he's coming back into his own after a little bit of a slump. And I think he'll do well in New York. John, what do you think about the Yankees as a whole, as we're sitting here talking about El Soto? The talent that they gave up, as well as what they got in return, where do you think their organization stands right now?
Well, it's very interesting. And the reason why I say that is because I think there may be one more piece of the puzzle out there for the Yankees that I think is important. So we know we've got Garrett. Let's talk about the rotation for a minute, right? We know we've got Garrett, right? Garrett Cole finally won a Cy Young. Well-deserved. Going to be great, okay? You got Nestor Cortez, who, for all intents and purposes, kind of sucked last year. Like, let's be honest. He missed some time. He was not good. People are saying with the pitch clock changes, his thing, his kind of signature thing was kind of throwing pitchers off, or throwing batters off a little bit. He had a bit of a down year. But then they went out and they signed Marcus Stroman, who I like Marcus Stroman. I mean, there's no doubt about it. When he's great, he's great. When he's not, he's not, right? So I like that Garrett Cole has a lot of durability, but Stroman and Cortez are really high ceiling, very low floor guys. So I don't know if that's if how good of a fit that's going to end up being. The big piece I was talking about, there's one major pitcher that hasn't signed with anybody. You know who I'm talking about here.
I do. Yes, I do.
Mr. Blake Snell. So I think if the Yankees pull some strings, dig in the pocketbook, which I know they can, and they get Blake Snell into New York, I think that massively changes the outlook of this team. You've got a guy who's coming off a Cy Young, almost consensus Cy Young. I think it was. Was it consensus? I think it was. In the NL last year. Amazing year in San Diego. Another thing that's interesting about this, Zeke, that I hadn't thought about, think about how well-maintained Blake Snell has been. Nobody's really thrown him a whole lot. He got pulled in the World Series, for God's sakes, right? So he's a very fine-tuned, very well-taken-care-of sports car that doesn't have a lot of miles on him. If he goes to New York, he can be the difference, I think, in taking this whole team to the next level.
Absolutely. He certainly presents the upside. I will say I'm not the biggest Blake Snell fan, so I have to kind of reach into the deep to get some good things out of him. But to me, he feels a little bit like a Steven Strasburg situation where he comes off a big year. He's had ups and downs in his past. Being in San Diego and then moving to New York, for a guy that I think could get in his head sometimes, possibly. Okay, this is speculation here.
Yeah.
Could be too big of a stage for him specifically. I don't know. But I know the reports today where the Yankees were looking into him quite a bit, even throwing out there the good old one-year deal situation.
Yeah.
Sounds like Snell may be asking for too much money. I don't know. But one of those prove-it deals. And I think that's a perfect situation for any team. But I'd almost be surprised if he went for that. So I don't know.
I think
at this point in the year, though, any team that lands a talent like Blake Snell, it's a win.
Yeah, I agree.
Truthfully.
I agree. I think there's certainly risk. You bring up some good points, right? We've seen Cy Young caliber years for Snell. We've seen some garbage years from him as well. So it does depend. I just think right now where the Yankees are at, and one note that I'll say about them as well, is it's really do or die. Their backs are very, very firmly against the wall. Whether you're talking about Juan Soto, right, who's in the last year of his contract. So that's something that we need to note as well. Whether you talk about Aaron Boone, the manager, who's also in the last year of his contract. whether you're talking about Brian Cashman, the GM, who's been getting a lot of heat on him recently for inability to perform, there's a lot of question marks in New York. And this really feels like a regime that's going to do whatever they can to try to win the World Series this year. So I think there's a little bit of desperation in the air, if I'm being honest. And I think a guy like Blake Snell, even if it's on a one-year deal, makes a lot of sense for the Yankees. Because if it blows up, hey, it's just 1 year, right? We can even get rid of him at the deadline, call quits, right? But if they sign him to a long-term deal, could be, could make things a little bit more interesting. I will say, Zeke, you know who I do think the perfect fit is for Blake Snell? Just an aside here. That guy would be awesome. That guy would be awesome in San Francisco. He would be awesome.
I think that would be a good fit, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be a good fit.
The way that they kind of train pitchers, they unlock this second beast in them. It's a very favorable pitcher's ballpark. He would be amazing. He's used to the West Coast. He would be fantastic in San Francisco.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's just an aside.
A perspective that I think is interesting here, you bring up trading off players at the deadline. With this year being so high stakes for management, essentially, if they could get Snell on a 1 year contract, even if they had to pay out the butthole for it, okay, I'm sure they got the money. It's not good. It shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
Sign him to a 1 year deal, $40 million a year, whatever. And then if nothing else, if they get to the trade deadline and they're sitting there at third, they don't really think they have a chance. That at least gives management a way out, because
yeah,
you know somebody's going to give up some prospects for a Soto. Mm-hmm. They're going to give up some prospects for a Snell that at this point are just 1 year deals.
Nope.
And though the Yankees gave up some for Soto, I think the return at the deadline for a contender, for a guy like Soto, could be astronomical. So it's a win-win all the way around if they were to make a move like that, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. I think there's going to be a team that's desperate enough for it. I will counter in that. I think the Yankees will have to really underachieve in order to do that. I think, you mentioned third. I think they'd have to be like fourth or fifth. I think they'd have to be probably 6 or 7 games out of the wild card. But if they do, I think it'd be a complete fire sale. It could be.
Yeah.
It could be a very interesting year in the Yankees. It could go either way. I kind of hope. I always think the MLB is better when the Yankees are good. I think it's more interesting. I want to see them do well. I want to see Juan Soto in pinstripes for a long time. We'll have to see. We'll have to see.
Do you think the Yankees sign him?
I hope.
Good or bad, do you think they sign him?
I don't see it. I don't see them extending him. I don't see them extending him this season. I don't know. Do you think they'll let him go to free agency? I think it really depends on their success, Zeke. I mean, if they're the top of the AL East, if they're doing well in July, August, I could see them being like, hey, we're just going to lock this up right now. We don't want you to test free agency. We're just going to give you what you want. Whereas if they suck, I mean, like you said, they could realistically trade him. So I think much of the season is dependent on results. And I think this season is going to shape everything for the Yankees moving forward. And I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Right.
It's so entertaining. Before we move on, and I know we want to talk about the Yankees a lot, right? But let's just talk a little bit about what the Padres get. They get Michael King, who's been pretty good big leaguer, Drew Thorpe, who's the 85th overall prospect. And then they've got Johnny Brito, Randy Vasquez, both of which are pitchers, right? So they get four pitchers back. And Kyle Higashioka, I think I'm pronouncing that right, but he's a catcher. He's been there for a while. I think the Padres did pretty well here. And I read an article the other night from the San Diego Tribune who said a lot of the guys in the clubhouse are very excited about what they brought back. And I think a big reason for that is they lost Blake Snell. They knew they weren't able, they knew they weren't going to get a huge return off of him, or a guy that could fill his shoes. So they got a bunch of guys. They knew that they weren't going to re-sign Soto because they already extended Tatis. They already extended Machado. They already extended Bogarts as well. They're not going to re-sign Soto. So they probably looked at the situation and they said, we're going to get the most out of what we need right now. And I think not waiting until the deadline, but doing it before the season starts, puts him at a decent position to potentially stay afloat here in the wild card race.
Absolutely. I mean, anytime you add talent, especially talent that people are excited about, I think there's something about having guys that synergize well together, even if they're not the best prospects out there. If the clubhouse is rumbling and excited, then great. You mix that with the veterans that have all the money, kind of the proven talents that you mentioned before, and anything's possible, especially at this time of the year.
Yeah. And one last thing I'll note, you know, and we'll talk about the Padres more as we get along in this preseason, but I have a little bullet point here. I want to see if you agree or disagree with it. Okay. It says, if the Yankees want to win a World Series, it will not come down to who they add or acquire, but rather how well their homegrown prospects can contribute at the major league level. Zeke, we've been hearing for years about, oh, it's finally going to be the year that Gleyber Torres breaks out. Or, oh, I'm so glad that Anthony Volpe is in the big leagues. Or Jason Dominguez, right? When he returns, because he's going to be out for a little bit. I think if the Yankees win a title, they need those guys to be difference makers. Not just guys that fill a spot in the lineup, guys that contribute to wins on a nightly basis. Agree or disagree?
Completely agree. Completely agree. Just like you said, it's been, yes, this is the year. Yes, this is the year. Yeah. Hey, if you're playing fantasy baseball, you got to pick this guy up because it's definitely the year for him. But they just have such a track history or a track record of failing.
Yep.
So, like you said, Torres, Volpe, Dominguez, Peraza, Oswaldo were two others last year that kind of had their runs, but really never made anything with it. It's make or break, man.
Yeah.
Time for the Yankees to step up or step down, one or the other.
That's right. We'll have to find out, man. It's going to be probably one of my favorite storylines to follow nationally throughout the year. I think this is going to be very interesting. Now, Z, any other thoughts before we move on to probably the number one competitor to the Yankees in the AL East, if I'm being honest?
I don't think so. Let's move on to this last topic, John.
Yeah, so we're on.
I think this will be a fun one.
This will be a fun one. So this is topic three. Zeke, we're going to talk about the Baltimore Orioles. All right, the Baltimore Orioles, who exceeded expectations.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thought that they'd be? Did they win over 100 games last year? I think they did.
Let me check real quick.
Who would have
thought?
They're
close.
They were up there, way ahead of schedule. Their prospects panned out. Amazing season. But what was the constant theme throughout the year? They didn't have an ace. They didn't have a guy that they could give the ball, go out on the mound and shut people down. They had some decent players in the rotation. They didn't have that guy. And it was really a crazy timeline of events, Zeke. I got a notification on January 30th that the owner, right, John Angelos, agrees to sell the Baltimore Orioles. And I know when I saw that, I was like, uh-oh, we got big changes coming.
Piggy bank's open, baby.
It's open. And only, what, 3 days later, the Baltimore Orioles and the Milwaukee Brewers agree to a trade. The Baltimore Orioles, the headliner here, blockbuster, one of the biggest trades of the offseason along with the Soto deal. Baltimore Orioles received Corbin Burnes, the 29-year-old 2021 NL Cy Young winner, three-time All-Star, has a career ERA of 3.26, right? But he can mow them down. Just really a huge game-changing move.
Absolutely. Absolutely, John. I think anytime you add more of a veteran talent in with young pitchers, it just makes the whole room grow. Corbin Burnes has some incredible stuff. He's got a lot of movement on his ball that just moves in different ways. And he's got a little fire to him. I don't know if you've ever seen any videos of him and in their first baseman. What was his name? Vogelbach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Burnes, you know, sometimes a little bit of a bull.
That is true.
You want that fire. Yep. You want that fire around.
You want that passion. It's like a Max Scherzer thing. You know, Max Scherzer used to fire. It gets everyone excited.
Yeah. And by the way, I had to go grab this. In honor of my trip down to spring training with the Baltimore Orioles. Thank you, Paul Harris, if you're listening. This is an adventure of a lifetime. So I got to shake Adley Rushman's hand.
Yes.
Because this was his first day of spring camp. So
you still haven't
anyway,
watched
shout out
it.
there.
Still haven't
still
watched
haven't watched it. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I it sleeps under my pillow right
yes,
here.
There you go. There you go. Well, Zeke, who would have thought back in 2020 that we would be I mean we knew the Orioles would eventually break out. But to the extent that they did it last year was very impressive. When the AL East hasn't – I mean, the AL East was as competitive as it's ever been, and they just walked away easily with the title.
Yeah. It probably my favorite type of team is the young team that proves everybody wrong, and they did exactly that. Now they're adding Burns to a fairly solid rotation when everybody's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now – as we've entered camp, the Orioles have gotten absolutely destroyed with injuries so far. I do think most of them are fairly minor, but still setbacks.
The big one, Zeke, though, the big one was Kyle Bradish. He was arguably their best pitcher last year. I would argue he was the best guy. He's set to IL with
sprained elbow.
UCL sprain, right? So.
Yeah.
That's baseball for not going to be too long until Tommy John, right? So
yeah.
is a concern, right? But now you've got Corbin Burns, who takes over that number one spot in the rotation. And all respect to Kyle Bradish, he had a great year last year. I mean, he's not Cy Young caliber pitcher right now.
Right.
Corbin Burns is. Even last year when he had his highest ERA last year, Zeke, as a full-time starter, it was only 3.39, so nothing to really panic about. But he still had over 200 strikeouts and led the NL in whip. And whip, right? Not the nene, right?
Whip.
Yeah, right. Whip.
Hey, John, do you have a good whip and nene?
I did back in the day. I sure did. But the whip is – Katie will like that joke. Katie will like – she'll know what I'm talking about. What we're talking about. So whip is walks and hits per innings pitched, right? So he had the lowest in the entire National League. So still pitching at a very, very high level. Just kind of, I don't want to say stuck in Milwaukee because they were still a playoff team last year, but now goes to a great situation. And also, I mean, you think about it, a lot of his home runs that he was giving up back in Milwaukee, I did a little research on this, was to left field home runs because it was a shorter porch there. In Baltimore, we know that wall is way out there. So I think these numbers are just going to get better.
Absolutely. For such a great talent, the Orioles really didn't give up a ton.
No.
Okay, they gave up some prospects, but when you're sitting there at home and you get the notification that, hey, Burns has been traded, with all the prospects that the Orioles have, even with the young talent they already have in the major leagues, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they got to keep a whole lot. And it has you sitting there wondering, why couldn't my team do that?
I know.
You know, why couldn't have I traded for Corbin Burns?
Yeah.
So,
no, I agree. I mean,
kudos to the Orioles.
Good for them. I don't know what it was. You know, could you look at these guys? I mean, I've heard good things about Joey Ortiz. He's 63rd ranked prospect, but he's an infield prospect. So kind of what we talked about, you've got guys in the infield like you've got Gunnar Henderson, who was a beast last year, rookie AL rookie of the year, very deservingly so. Joey Westberg as well played great. Then you got Jackson Holliday, who's the number one prospect in baseball now, who's slated to play second base. So there's really not a whole lot of need for Ortiz right now for the Orioles at all. Give away a DL Hall as a left-handed pitcher and then a competitive balanced draft pick. I agree with you, Zeke. I mean, even though Burns is in the last year of his contract, right, that should be noted. So this is – we say on paper it's a rental. If it were at the deadline, it'd be more of a rental. I really think with this new ownership group, as long as it's a good fit, I think they're gonna extend him as they should. He deserves it. But, yeah, I agree with you, man. Not a big haul.
Yeah. Where does this leave the Brewers?
That's an interesting thing that I wanted to talk to you about, Zeke. Okay, so the Brewers, the first massive blow that the Brewers had in the offseason was losing their manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
Losing Craig Counsell. I mean, Craig Counsell did fantastic things in Milwaukee. To get poached by the Chicago Cubs of all teams, that leaves a bad taste in my mouth, man. I did not like to see that. I was not very happy.
Yeah.
But so Craig Counsell's gone. Then you lose Corbin Burns as well. And a lot of people are kind of like crying wolf. They're like, oh my gosh, the Brewers are going to be terrible. You lose Brandon Woodruff, right? You know, he's not going to pitch next year. They're wounded, right? It's a wounded Milwaukee squad. But I think I might be higher on the Brewers than most people are. I really do. They've got some good talent. You've got the big guy that I was impressed with last year was Sal Frelick. Sal Frelick came up out of the minors, was fantastic. They have a lot of belief in Jackson Chirillo as well, who had the largest contract of any minor league player before he's even touched an MLB field. They signed him to that in the offseason. So there's a lot of faith in the young guys. I think they're kind of rebuilding and retooling a little bit. Another underrated sign I like, they signed Rhys Hoskins. I think Rhys Hoskins, when he's been healthy out there for Philly, I know he's taken a lot of flack because, well, it's Philly. But he's put up some really good numbers. I think that's a perfect fit. They moved on from Rowdy Tellez. I think Rhys Hoskins is a perfect fit there. So I don't know, man. The NL Central is kind of a shit show right now, be honest with you. Excuse my language. But it's really between everyone's talking about the Cardinals, they're talking about the Cubs, and they're talking about the Reds. I don't think the Brewers are too far out of it, considering that they only lost a couple pieces and they just won the division pretty easily last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Their lineup looks better once you really kind of dive in than you would think originally, especially with all the young talent. I mean, most of these guys are less than 25. Rookies, first year, second year sort of players. So if they can turn things around and really get after it, they could certainly be contenders. The thing that I'll find interesting is I feel like every year for the last several years, I have downplayed Milwaukee, and then they come out, win their division, surprisingly to me. Then they get their butts whooped in the playoffs, but that's okay.
Yes.
But I wonder if some of that or a large portion of that success is attributable to Council.
And now that they don't have him, we'll see. It'll be interesting. I'm not sitting there. I'm not telling people to go bet on the Brewers to win the NL Central or anything like that. All I'm saying, Zeke, is don't be surprised when August rolls around and you look at the standings and you see, oh, the Brewers are only two or three games out of the NL Central. I'm telling you, they're that pesky team. We had this conversation last year. We said, hey, what if they sell Burns at the deadline? It could be a total disaster to Milwaukee. They turn around and they win the division. So you're right. They're the perfect encapsulation of a small market team that does a lot with a little. And I think they're really trusting their farm system and their young talent. We'll see what happens. They'll be. I can almost guarantee they'll be better than the Pirates. I'll tell you that.
Who knows? Pirates came out hot last year, John.
Yeah, they did. And then how did that turn out at the end of the year, right? I like the way, and I know we'll get into these teams more when we get to the previews, but Baltimore didn't really need to do a lot this offseason. They had one goal and they did it. So I'm pretty high on Baltimore still. They added, I know you added here too, added Craig Kimbrell. That was news. Was that Friday that happened?
Yeah. Was it Friday?
Yeah.
So, fun fact, this is kind of cool. It is well known around town that Craig Kimbrell has a farm in my hometown. So, my dad on Wednesday, so a couple of days before the signing, texts me. He says, I am almost certain that in the Walgreens pharmacy line was Craig Kimbrell. And I was like, well, did you go talk to him? He's like, no. Generally, I go into the store to the pharmacy. Today, I was running late and I had to get to work, so I went through the drive-thru and I could see him through the window across the way. And he said he had the man bun, he had the look. I was like, was he bent over with his arms spread? He's like, he wasn't quite doing that, but it was close.
That's so hilarious.
That's a cool story.
That's a great story.
Craig Kimbrell and Walgreens. So.
And a lesson to
small town vibes.
A lesson to Kevin Grissom not to procrastinate in the morning, you know? And then
that's right.
Him, right?
That's right. He needs a new eye doctor, I heard.
There you go. Well, that's great. And one thing that I wanted to ask you, Zeke, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we'll get into this more in our predictions podcast, but if you're picking today, AL East champion, Is it the Baltimore Orioles, no doubt? Or do you have your eyes in a different direction?
I'm going with the Orioles.
Yeah.
They certainly have the pedigree. They have this on paper. They have enough. And then they're just a team I'll root for. Okay. I'm kind of on that verge where I almost go and get me an Orioles hat. Almost.
Wow. Well, you do have that
almost.
You do have the connection with the spring training camp. So I think it's justified, Z. Although,
so,
me personally,
I'm going Baltimore.
I would prefer if you bought a hat with a different shade of orange in it and a different, you know, instead of an O, maybe we you know, because you are an OD, right? Maybe you should get an O and a D hat at the same time.
Yeah.
Or
you know, we'll look into it.
All right.
We'll look into it.
Look at Fanatic.
Also a young team. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, Zeke, I think this was great. This is perfect. You know,
yeah.
Perfect podcast here, talking about the three biggest things. Just kind of let you know what's on deck here. So we're hoping, Zeke and I are trying to make a little better commitment here this season of making Tuesday night podcast night. So we're going to try to record these every Tuesday. Whether we keep to it or not, you'll find out by updating your feed, you know, seeing if you get a notification from us.
Hey, hold us to it.
Hold us to it.
Come after us if we're not making it. You
text
know,
us about
let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know. That's my cat back there. So, yeah, let us know. But Tuesday, we're hoping to do it. So our plan is for this week. We've got our big three. Next week, we're hoping to do a little preview of what happened with our favorite team. So if you're a Braves fan or a Tigers fan, tune back in next week. And then we're going to move into more of our preview podcast. So talking, we're going to do the AL East and the NL East 1 week, then the AL Central, NL Central, and AL West and NL West the following week, followed by our predictions podcast where we make fools of ourselves on an annual basis. But yeah, give us a text. Let us know if you're liking the show. Be sure to, you know, hit that follow button on the Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, so you know when we're uploading things. Tell your friends, right, Zeke? Tell your family. We're
yeah.
Give us a listen.
If you see patients, if you have clients, be like, "Hey, Dugout Docs, that's where it's at." That's
right.
What I listened to on my way into work this morning.
If you tell me, I will find a way to print business cards with our little logo on it. I will.
Hey, QR code. We'll send you a QR code. They just scan it. You know, give us a listen. We got you.
Do you think our employers will allow that addition on our next round of business cards?
I can ask.
Doesn't hurt. All they can do is say no.
Z Grissom, OD, Bedford Vision, and then underneath that,
part-time podcast.
Co-host, Dugout Docs.
Don't forget to subscribe.
come. Yep. Find us on Spotify. Yep.
Yes.
So,
well, very good, Zeke. Good catching up with you.
It's been fun, John.
Those lots been fun. Been fun. We'll plan on seeing you next week.
Sounds like a plan. Let's talk about our boys next week.
All right, let's do it. Go Tigers.
Chop on, baby.
Chop on. All right, we'll see you next week.